Up a three-part series on the future. I hope you all have enjoyed it very much and have learned a little bit about our future and how we can create the future, walk in the future that God has for us. And we started off talking about how our thoughts shape our future. Y'all remember that? How our thoughts shape our future. It all starts in our thoughts, and that our thoughts, when they're true and they're honorable and they're pure and they're lovely, remember that? Philippians 4:8. When they're excellent, our thoughts lead us to become people of joy, of encouragement, of grace, and the way we think about the Lord and think about others. And our thoughts are so important. And they all start here, right? Our thoughts affect our attitudes, our hearts. And then we talked last week about how. What? Who was listening? Like class. How our words affect our future. That's right, how our words and how it's so important to speak life to ourselves. That I'm just curious. I mean, okay, you don't have to raise your hand so everybody sees you, but just sort of give me a nod so I can see. How many here did that thing this week where you kind of looked in the mirror and went, you're awesome. Yeah. Anybody? Did anybody do that? A couple people? Yeah. Right? A couple of people, yeah. Yeah, I mean, you know, we just, the words that we speak to ourselves, we could speak life to ourselves, or we could speak failure to ourselves, we could speak all sorts of things into our lives, and the words we speak affect us so much. We have to speak life to ourselves, so we speak life to others, life about our futures, right? Last thing you want to start doing is saying, I'm too old for that. You know what I mean? That's like, you saying I'm too old for that, is you might as well just, you know, start planning your funeral. You know, you've got to understand that God has so much for you. It doesn't matter how old you are. It doesn't matter whether you're 8 or 80. You still have a future in front of you. You still have years that God can use and that you can experience hope and joy and you can love and grow and go, right? And so this morning, and because we also talked about how our lives are the ship and our tongues are the rudder. Remember that? And how it's so important that we steer towards a positive future with our words. And so this morning, I want to talk about forecasting the future with our habits. Yeah? Karen very skillfully wove the whole habit thing into her. Yeah. She skillfully wove the habit thing. And we're talking about our habits today. I mean, okay, when I was 18 years old, which was a long, 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 long time ago in a land far away. And I had this horrible habit of sleeping in. Like, I was so hard to get out of bed. Is that right? Can anybody relate with that one, that habit? Yeah? Come on, Cole, raise your hand. Yeah. Oh, No. Cole said, I don't remember that. No. I was 18 years old. I was just horrible. I would sleep in, and actually, really what it was the dual habit of staying up too late, right? And then struggling to get up in the morning. It was a horrible habit of mine, and it affected a lot of areas of my life. I was always late for morning meetings. My parents had a hard time getting me out of bed for church. It caused me to kind of run behind all day. You know, I talk about when you get up too late, so you're running behind all day long, you know, just to catch up, and then you stay up late so that you can catch up with all the things you didn't get done, and then you can't get up the next day, and it just perpetuates. And one time, there was a guy from our church who owned a roofing company, and my stepdad hired him to come over and help and put a roof on his house. And so the guy who owned the roofing company said, look, I'll just come over and do it for you. I'll just come and help you. We'll do it on a Saturday. If you can get a few people together to help you out, we'll roof your house, and all you got to do is pay for the materials. And so this guy shows up early on a Saturday morning, and he's right above my head. They're all right above my head, right? My bedroom is upstairs, and they're pounding, whatever. And I still didn't get out of bed till like after 11. So there's roofing going on. It's crazy. I still didn't get up till after 11. And a few months later, probably maybe 6 months later, a good friend of mine was working for this roofer. And I was looking for a job. And my friend's name was Mike. I said, Mike, would you ask Keith, the guy who owned the roofing, would you ask Keith if he would hire me? Because he was looking for a guy. And I was looking for a job. And I thought roofing would be great. And it was full time. And it paid real well. And so Mike said, yeah, I'll go talk to Keith. I'm sure I can get you a job. And so like a week passed, 2 weeks passed. I'm not hearing anything back from Mike. I'm not hearing anything from Keith. And finally, I kind of corner Mike. I go, Mike, what's going on, man? I mean, I thought you talked to Keith. And he said, well, I did talk to Keith. But he said that when he came over to your house that Saturday morning to roof your house, you wouldn't get out of bed to go help them on the roof. And because you slept in that day when you knew your stepdad needed help, he didn't want to hire you because he thinks that you'll just be lazy. And what an ouch. I mean, I was like, wow. I mean, that habit caught up to me in a very real financial way. I mean, I had gained a reputation basically for being kind of a lazy sluggard, you know, because of that. And so it was one of those times when my bad habit cost me a good paying job, and I ended up delivering pizzas for the next year instead. You know, dreaming about what I could have bought on a roofer's wage rather than a pizza deliverer's wage. Our habits catch up to us, and our habits, in that case right there, that habit that I had of sleeping in forecasted my future. Y'all see how that happened? Okay, so we're talking about the power of our habits today and how our habits forecast our future. And so you could probably point to times in your life maybe when your habit had either a positive or negative effect on you, right? Sometimes our habits have a negative effect on you. I knew a guy that told me about his experience passing a kidney stone. Ooh. He said it was the most pain he'd ever been in his entire life. So, oh my God, it was like fire. It was like fire coming out of my body, not to be disgusting. But he said it was the most painful thing that ever happened. And he just, he can point to that moment in his life where it was just so awful. I go, man, how in the world did you get a kidney stone? He said, well, for years I had a habit of drinking Mountain Dew every day. So that habit is what caused him, right, very physical pain and discomfort and medical bills and all that stuff and he was able to tie that back to a habit. Our habits influence our future, okay? And so maybe you've had a good habit. Maybe you've had a habit of being kind towards others, or a habit of like doing favors for your neighbors, or you have a habit of being kind, and so that it made it so that others then were kind to you during a time of need. Your kind habits forecasted a future of other people helping you when you were in a time of need, okay? Or maybe you had a habit of having dessert every day, right? And that had an impact on your future waistline, okay? Yeah, that's me. I tell you what, I love a good dessert. Oh, I love dessert. Oh, gosh. Yesterday I made a pan of brownies, and it was wonderful. And I was very happy for about 10 minutes until this morning when I stepped on the scale. And so our successes and our failures in life can almost always be traced back to our habits. Our successes and our failures in life can almost always be traced back to our habits. And our habits can predict our future. That's why life-giving habits are so, so important, okay? And so we live in this culture that seems to intentionally be trying to develop bad habits in us. Have you ever noticed that? Like, we live in this against all odds culture to develop bad habits. For example, I went to go see a movie not too long ago. I went to the theater to see a movie. I don't do that very often because I like to get up and use the bathroom during the movie. And I don't want to do that at the theater. So, and I don't want other people talking. The worst thing in the world is you pay, what is it, $10 for a movie ticket now? And the person next to you picks up their phone in the movie to tell the person who called them that they can't talk because they're watching a movie? It's just pretty, okay, so anyway, that's going to be a sermon. But I remember I was sitting in the theater, and beforehand there's this commercial, it's like quiet at first, and all you hear is the sound of a can of Coke being open, and then you hear like very vividly like the sound of the bubbles coming out of the can, and then you hear the pouring sound. I don't even drink pop. Like, I drink maybe a pop a month. And I'm listening to that, my mouth is watering. I'm like, oh man, a Coke sounds so good right now. you know? And so we just live in this culture, man, through advertising and things that just like, it makes it so hard to develop good habits that way. And like social media, we have this habit, a lot of people now, of social media. I remember, you know, 15 years ago, 10 years ago, social media wasn't even a hobby. Right? Or a habit. Sorry, it wasn't even a habit. Like, you couldn't even get it on your phone. You know, most people had phones that you can do that on. And you had to, like, be sitting in front of your computer to check your MySpace. Right? Or you know, Facebook was sort of brand new. But now it's become such a habit for people that it's actually, you know, people are saying that it's become like an epidemic. You know, it's become this addiction that's of epidemic proportions, that you can actually go to clinics now to detox and break your addiction to social media. And so it's like it gobbles up time, it gobbles up attention. And what happens is it tends to gobble up time that we could use on positive habits, right? You ever see a guy go to the gym and he like does one set because like in between sets he's like checking Facebook, you know? Or what's the deal with people taking pictures in the mirror at the gym like every day, you know? Like I have friends that do that, and at first I'm like, hey, proud of you, like, hey, that's cool, proud of you, like. And then it's like, you've been doing this every day for 100 days. I'm not liking anymore. Give me a dislike button. Give me a roll your eyes button. I'll click that. Okay, but it just gobbles up time and attention and time that we could be developing good habits. Time with Jesus, time with our family, creating a better life and ourselves for others. I always say like one of the biggest lessons I ever had is I used to play, I think I told you guys this, but I used to play this online game. Does anybody remember an online game called City of Heroes? Yes, Cole, you remember that. And it's sort of like World of Warcraft or one of these sort of like massive multiplayer online games, but you create your own superhero. And I like superheroes. And I created my own superhero, and I would get on there, and I would play it and level up, you know. And I would kind of get there usually at night, and Wendy would go to bed, and she'd go to bed at like 10 o'clock. She's like, are you coming to bed? I'm like, yeah, I'll be right there. 3 a.m., you know, and I'm on there. And I remember like one day I got my bill, which I normally didn't get. You paid like $15 a month to play this thing, right? And normally my bill would just go straight into my spam folder, so I never saw it every month. I just knew that I was being charged $15 a month to play this game. And then one month I get this bill, and it didn't go to my spam folder, and it breaks down the amount of time that you spent playing the game. And it was like 30 hours. Wasn't it something like that? It was like 30 hours in a month. And you know, that's an hour a day. And I remember thinking back to myself, though, and I went, 30 hours. I am so frustrated with where I'm at with how I play my guitar right now. Could you imagine how good I would be if I practiced for 30 hours a month? That would be awesome. You know, I would love to learn another language. 30 hours a month, I could pick up another language so easily. If I wanted to work like a second job and just earn a little more money, I could have done that with 30 hours a month. And I just started to go through all of the things that I could have done that would have been better than spending that 30 hours a month playing that stupid game, right? Because I'll never get those 30 hours a month back. All that time I spent playing that game, all that time leveling up my character and all that stuff, all that time that I spent doing that, I will never get that time back, ever. It's gone, kaput, right? And so if I could have spent that time in something that developed a habit of life, a habit of health, heck, I could have spent an hour more a day with my family. I could have spent 30 hours a month just hanging out with my kids, right? Being a better dad. And so we live in a culture that is just, it's almost like it's trying to pull from us, trying to develop bad habits in us, trying to steal our time, trying to develop addictions in us. And you know what? If we use those habits to develop habits of life, we will have a future that's so much better than what we have right now, okay? And so how do we create the future that God wants to have through the power of habits? Hey, let's talk about that. Let me pray. I'll try not to take too long because I know I spent a really long time in that introduction, but let's pray. God, we love you so much, and we pray that you would cause your word to come alive in us today. Lord, that you would help us to be people of life-giving habits, of habits of grace, God, of habits of growth and habits of wisdom, Lord. Lord, help us to be people who walk in your future for us, your plans for us, in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, so let's start off. We're going to take a look at Deuteronomy chapter 11, And here, what's happening is God is giving the Israelites some instructions before they move into the promised land, okay? So the Israelites have been marching through the wilderness for 40 years, and they're finally, after all this time, God is going, okay, you're almost there, you're almost to the promised land, but before you get there, before you get to the place that I have for you, I've got some instructions for you. And I think for some of us in our lives, we feel like we've been kind of meandering around for years, right? We just sort of been maintaining for years. We've been wandering around for years. We're not even quite sure, you know, what the future holds for us. We're not sure what God has for us. We just sort of been wandering or maintaining or in sort of the doldrums for a long time. And we're wondering what God has for us next. And I believe that what God wants to tell you today, listen, if you develop these habits that I'm sharing with you in my word, that I will lead you into that promised land. I'll lead you into that next chapter of your life. I'll lead you into that place of joy, that place of fulfillment, right? And that's where God wants to bring you. And so this is what God tells the Israelites just before moving them into the promised land. He says this in verse 18 of Deuteronomy chapter 11. So commit yourselves wholeheartedly. We all say commit yourselves wholeheartedly with me. Commit yourselves wholeheartedly, okay? God didn't say make a half-butt commitment to what I'm about to tell you. He's saying, commit yourself wholeheartedly to these words of mine. God is saying, commit yourself to my words. Not half-heartedly. Don't kind of just sit around with your buddies and philosophize about it. Put it in your life. Commit yourself to it. Live these things out, right? Okay. Tie them to your hands and wear them on your forehead as reminders. Okay. Teach them to your children. Teach them to your children. Talk about them when you are at home and when you're on the road, when you're going to bed and when you're getting up. Write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates, so that as long as the sky remains above the earth, you and your children may flourish in the land the Lord swore to give your ancestors. So he's saying, hey, if you commit yourself to my word, he's saying, why? So that you and your children will flourish in the land. Okay, I swore to give your ancestors. If you remember one thing, remember this morning. Okay, remember this. Intentional habits of grace lead to a future of joy and fulfillment. Would you put that up there, Mike? Intentional habits of grace lead to a future of joy and fulfillment. Okay? If you want a future of joy, if you want a future of fulfillment, if you want those things, and I think we all want a positive future, we all want to walk in the future that God has for us, then if we're going to do that, we have to develop intentional habits of grace. And so God is saying in this case, commit yourself to the habit of my word. Commit yourself to the habit of being in my word, knowing my word, hiding your word in your heart. He said, write them on the doorposts. Deuteronomy 11, 18 through 21, it's this brilliant example of how important it is to God that we cultivate godly habits. So it's not just for us, but God is going, hey, people, my people, the people who say that they love me, I want you to cultivate intentional habits, okay? God wants you to cultivate intentional habits, okay? And so a lot of times we kind of get sort of grumpy about being confronted about our habits, don't we? Because, you know, they're pretty firmly ingrained and we love them and, you know, don't tell me to develop those habits. Habits are hard to develop. I've already got enough habits. You have no idea how busy I am. You have no idea how crazy things are. I can't develop these habits that you're talking about. But God is saying, do it. Do it. You can do it. It's in you. All right? Habits of grace give us these incredible opportunities to enjoy Jesus. You guys have heard me talk about, you know, the satellite story, right? And how when I had to aim my own satellite dish, my own DirecTV dish. Y'all remember that story? I'll tell it to you again because only Kathy remembers. And so I remember I bought a DirecTV satellite dish. And this was back in the day when you buy this dish thing and you have to install it on your roof. It was before the days of contracts and all that stuff. You bought it and you installed it, or you paid somebody like $100 to come out and install it for you. And I thought, no, I'm smart. I can install the satellite dish by myself. I can bolt it to the roof. I can aim it and all that stuff. Not a big deal. And I remember it was an icy February day, and I'm up on the roof, and I'm trying to aim this satellite dish. It was so cold outside. And I had a friend. I invited a friend over. His name was Jason. And I said, Jason, here's what I need you to do. I need you to stand inside, look at the TV set, and I need you to tell me what it says, or if it just comes in, right? I'll move it, and you tell me. So he's got his head out the window and one eye, you know, looking at the TV set. I'm up on the roof, and it was a second story apartment in an upper lower flat, and so I move it like this much, like a centimeter. What does it say? Move dish 3 degrees. Well, I don't know what 3 degrees means, but I'll move it this much. How about now? Move dish 3 degrees. Toot. What about now? What did he say? Move dish 3 degrees. This is going on for like an hour, okay? Move dish 3 degrees. Finally, I'm like, forget it. I'm going to pay somebody. I called the installer, and I said, what if it's already installed? How much will you charge me for that? All it needs to do is be aimed. He goes, we'll do it for $50. So a guy comes out, and he puts up his ladder. He gets on my roof, and he has this little box. It's called a satellite strength indicator. And he plugs it into the satellite dish, and he goes like this. Well, you were really close. I said, well, what's the deal? What's the deal? He said, the problem is, if you're a centimeter off here, you're miles off from the satellite in space. And the thing that I really learned from that, as I understood that if our habits are a little bit off here, 5 years, 10 years down the road, we're miles off. We're miles off. We think that our habits, that our daily eating habits, or our habits of prayer, our habits of scripture, our habits of just healthy habits of family, we think that if our habits are just a little bit off here, it's no big deal, whatever, that it's not going to really affect us. But you know what? 2, 3, 4 years down the line, where we're incredibly depressed, or our marriage is falling apart, or our health is falling apart, okay? It's not because that just happened. It's not like, oh, sucker punch, all of a sudden, you know, my life is falling apart. Sucker punch, all of a sudden, I'm sick and I don't have any energy. Oh, what happened? All of a sudden, you know, I'm depressed every day and I just can't seem to get my stuff together. I don't really have any joy in my life. Oh, sucker punch, I don't know where God is. Why haven't I heard from, you know, God in years? Well, it's not because it just all of a sudden happened. It's because you're just a little bit off. A year ago, 2 years ago, 3 years ago. You abandon those habits of health and grace that you establish in your life that lead us to a good future, right? A future of joy and fulfillment. Intentional habits of grace lead to a future of joy and fulfillment. You know, we think that discipline is such a dirty word, don't we? Discipline. What? I should just do whatever I want to do. I should just do what feels good. Discipline. Don't tell me to be disciplined. But here's the thing about discipline. Discipline leads to freedom. Discipline leads to freedom. Because I would rather have the discipline of exercise today so that tomorrow I have energy and freedom, right, than to go, I'm just going to eat whatever I want, do whatever I want, and do whatever I feel like doing so that tomorrow I'm sick and I have no energy and I'm depressed. Okay? And so we have to understand that intentional habits of grace, the life-giving habits in our life, they lead to a future of joy and fulfillment. Okay? And so what happens is habits of grace, they create the conditions in our life for a future of joy and peace and patience and kindness and goodness and faithfulness and gentleness and self-control, right? That's Galatians 5:22. And so as the old saying goes like this, you've probably heard this before, sow a thought, reap an action. Sow an action, reap a habit. Sow a habit, reap a character. Sow a character, reap a destiny. You see how our habits lead to our destiny? Isn't that powerful? Okay, so what are some habits of grace that God wants us to develop? Well, the first habit of grace is this. It's the habit of listening to God. In other words, it's the habit of scripture reading. Okay, that's what God wants us. Deuteronomy chapter 11, he's saying, know my word. Talk about it with your kids. Write it on the doorposts of your house. All right? So Deuteronomy 11, God says to make a wholehearted, remember, commit yourself wholeheartedly to make a wholehearted commitment to his word. We're all going to read stuff anyway. Listen, you're all going to read stuff anyway. You will read stuff in your life. We all read stuff. So why not make it God's word? Okay? We instead of reading our Facebook feed or reading a magazine or reading the back of a cereal box or reading another novel, why not make it the habit to read scripture? You know, and some people I know, they're like, well, you don't understand, man. I'm up at 5 a.m. I'm in the car. I get home. I've crashed on my bed, you know, reading. But, you know, that's why we have audio Bibles now, right? There is a free app called the Alpha app, right? The Alpha app is awesome. How many have gone through the Alpha course with us? Okay, so you all know, like, how awesome it is, okay? And the Alpha app is really cool because you can open it up, and Nicky Gumbel, in his wonderful, beautiful, calming British voice, will read to you this incredible devotional that goes with the scripture that is read by another guy with a deep British voice. And it's so cool. It's free. And you can be in God's word every day and just listen to it. You can listen to it in car, listen to it when you're working or whatever. And so, you know, you put encouraging verses on your bathroom mirror. Isn't that wonderful? You ever look in the bathroom mirror and go, oh, you know, why not have a scripture there and saying what God says about you? Decorate your house with scriptures. Do what it takes. Verse 11 says to tie God's words around your hands and wear them on your foreheads. In other words, do whatever it takes to make God's word a habit in your life. Do whatever it takes, okay? And I think that we should deny ourselves coffee until we've read the Bible. You know what I'm saying? Read a verse, take a sip. You know, we make it a habit. For a lot of people, we make it a habit to have our coffee every day, don't we? That's a habit. We make a habit to brush our teeth every day. We make a habit to eat breakfast every day. We make it a habit to shower, okay? But make it a commitment in your life to be in God's word somehow every day, okay? Make it a habit. The next thing is this. Talk to God, right? It's the habit of talking to God. And that's the habit of prayer, right? There it is. Talk to God. Talk to God. It's the habit of prayer. Wouldn't it be wonderful if prayer was this habit just that was as natural as breathing? You know, that'd be awesome. Prayer just, you know, natural as breathing, just talking to God. Philippians 4, 6, and 7 says, don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Right? Pray about everything. Tell God what you need and thank Him for all He's done. Then you will experience God's peace. If you want a future of God's peace, then make it a habit to pray. And that peace, it's the peace which exceeds anything we can understand. His peace will guard our hearts and minds as you live in Christ Jesus. Wouldn't you love a future of peace? Wouldn't you love knowing, hey, my future is full of peace. My future is full of joy. My future is full of hope. Then pray. Then pray about everything. If you want a future filled with peace, then develop the habit of prayer. What a great way to start every day is experiencing God's peace, right? Wouldn't it be wonderful if you knew that every day before you took off and you had to rush off to the hustle and bustle of work or the hustle and bustle of taking care of your kids or all those things, that you at least got a couple minutes to experience God's peace every day? Just to pray. What a great way to start the day. Talk about a vitamin, right? Experiencing God's peace. Just take a few minutes. Talk to God. It will change your life. I'm totally not exaggerating. If you can, you know, spend time in prayer. You do that for the next 6 weeks every day and come back to me and you can tell me. If you tell me it didn't do anything for me, then we'll talk. But you'll understand that you will experience God. You'll encounter God. It will change your days. It will change your heart. It will change your attitudes. The peace of God will guard your heart and mind. That's what Scripture tells us, okay? And so lastly is this. Worship God. That's the habit of joining your church family weekly. I love this habit in my life. If I didn't pastor a church, I would still go to church every week. Because it's the habit of worship, and it's the habit of gathering with my church family, and it's good for me, and it's good for the church family. And so Hebrews 10, 24 through 25 says this. It says, let us think of ways to motivate one another to acts of love and good words. Let us not neglect our meeting together, as some people do, but encourage one another, especially now that the day of His returning is drawing near. You know, God didn't say go to church and gather with your friends and gather, you know, with your church family every week because He wanted to give you some sort of religious homework assignment. He did it because he knows that it's good for you, because it's a habit of grace that's going to help you walk in a future of joy and peace and love, right? And so the habit of gathering together for church, what happens is it gives us opportunities to motivate each other. It gives us opportunities to encourage each other. It gives us opportunities to grow together, to experience and serve God together. There's nothing like the church. Bill Hybels wrote this quote, excuse me, and I love it. He says, "Nothing on earth has greater potential to change lives and carry out his kingdom work in your community than your local church. There's nothing like the local church when it's working right. Its beauty is indescribable. Its power, it's breathtaking. Its potential is unlimited. No other organization on earth is like the church. Nothing even comes close." Right? It's the habit of worship. Why do we have a camp that helps abused and neglected foster children? How are we able to do that? How are we able to dig a well in Africa? How are we able to support Haiti? It's because we have a church, right? Because the church is the change agent in the earth. It's the most exciting organization you can ever be a part of. It really is. When we see God at work in us and through us, in the habit of gathering together, changes our lives. It changes our lives. And there's been many times where I've come to church, I've gone back and I've made a beeline for the prayer team and I've gotten prayer from the prayer team. And it's just a wonderful thing. You can't go get prayer from the prayer team at church not being at church. And I can't think of a whole lot of other organizations that have like prayer teams, right? So if I'm like, hey, you know what, today I'm just going to stay home and catch the game. There's no prayer team there. Right? I can't corporately gather with other people and worship God together. The habit of gathering with your church family every week is so powerful. Okay, so it will help to fill your future with joy and encouragement and grace. And so this morning, what we're going to do is we're going to wrap up. But I just want to challenge you this morning. I want to issue you a challenge to cultivate the habits of grace in your life. Okay? And maybe on the back of your bulletin, maybe on there you can go, well, you can write down, these are the habits I need to establish. You know, I'm pretty good with the habit of worship. I'm at church on Sunday mornings, and you know, and I serve, and I just love interacting with my church family, and I know the encouragement. And you know what? I'm pretty good with the Word. I'm listening to the Bible. I'm reading the Bible. But you know, prayer is sort of a weak spot in my life. I just want to encourage you to begin to develop that habit of prayer. Or maybe, you know, it's flipped. Maybe you need to develop the habit of God's Word and listening to His voice, but you're weak in prayer. Or maybe you're weak in two or three areas. I just want to really, really challenge you to intentionally establish those habits. Get motivated, right, to spend time with God, because it will shape your future. It will shape your destiny, okay? Creating habits that are good for us isn't always easy. But it's still a choice. We can make that choice. Deuteronomy 11:26 says, look, I am giving you the choice between blessing and a curse. And we have a choice to walk in a future of joy and peace and righteousness, or we can walk in a future. We can aim our satellite dish just a little bit off. We can kind of go, I'm not going to be disciplined in that. And you know what? I'm just not a praying person. I'm just not a reader, you know, or I just Sunday morning's my only day to sleep in, you know, as if that one Sunday of sleeping in is going to change your life. So just listen, begin to aim your satellite in the right direction and you will see how God helps to shape your future. It's amazing. We are all products of our habit. I am a product of, you know, 10, 20 years of good habits and even bad habits that have, you know, made it difficult for me. But we're all a product of our habits. And sometimes we choose our habits that are harmful to our health and to our relationships and to our careers. And sometimes we choose habits that cultivate joy and life and freedom. And so I just really want to challenge you to cultivate the habits of grace. Cultivate the habits of grace and watch what happens, okay? And so what we're going to do is we're going to pray this morning. How do I want to end this? Holy Spirit, tell me how to end this. All right, honey, come up here. Well, you guys are all watching Wendy walk up here. I'm going to grab my water. She's just awesome at walking up here. So, but I want to make that a challenge to you. And And I guess, let me just do it like this. If you're here this morning, if you feel challenged by this, and you're like, yes, I want you to pray for me for that. I want you to pray for me that I can cultivate those habits of grace in my life. Maybe I've let some bad habits slip in. You know, that's the thing about bad habits is you don't have to be intentional to make bad habits. They kind of just happen, you know. And I've allowed those habits to sort of creep in and take up space in my life that habits of grace would be much more beneficial to me. And you feel challenged by that. Then I want to pray for you. Will you do that? Will you just, you know, you can stand up and I'll pray for you. All right? And we'll just pray that God will help you. He'll give you the grace. And would you do that? If you need prayer, if you want prayer for that challenge to cultivate the habits of grace, why don't you go ahead and stand up?